What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, welcome back to today's weekly Rock LA podcast, the most random podcast that you're going to listen to today. Is that fair, or is that like, you know, like, haha, I'm random, I'm funny? Is that where I'm going for here?
I think you nailed both tones very, very well there. Yeah, good delivery there.
Listen, we've got a jam-packed show for you today. By that I mean it's pretty much all transfers, because that's what's been happening this last week. Like the last 2 or 3 days, there's been a whole bunch of things that have happened, things I want to talk about, things I haven't included in the list, but I'm sure I'll add as we go on. But we'll focus there. I know both of us had a little bit busy week. We were away last episode, so the question is, how much smack did Messi and Wabs talk about us?
Probably all the smack.
If you listen to the episode, you would know. I know what it's like, you know. I was gonna say though, I'm always interested to see what they talk about me. You know, I just listen to every episode. And that's all I'm doing. I'm such a narcissist that all it is just like, hey, what do they say about me? Speaking of putting people on a pedestal, let me thank our patrons here. I guess what the guitar is back. So with your Patreon intro jingle here that I'm gonna make up in 2 seconds. That's it. You get one chord. It was an A chord. All right. Bravo, that's all you get.
Bravo.
All right. You got the A, and then you got the A chord. All right. So thank you so much, Zodiac 22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Austinus, Digital Toast, Paint, Aruk, Young Slug, and PK. Thank you so much for your continued support. If you would like to join the Patreon, or just like preview, I think the Patreon has a cool new feature where it like previews the first minute of some of the bonus shows. So if you'd like to take a look at that, you can go to patreon.com/ASAPweekly. Cool thing is we have a new Rob and Kyle show coming up where the requested topic by the director's chair patron was to talk about some pro wrestling. So the plan is for me to inform Wabs as to what is happening in the wrestling world today, and Wabs to react, you know, completely blind to it. So I think it'll be a good episode coming up. So look forward to that. But right here on the Rocket League podcast, the first thing we want to talk about is our week in Rocket League. Mm. Now, Cursor, this is gonna be a tough one here.
Okay.
Did you manage, because I know both of us have been really busy, did you manage to play some Rocket League this week?
Yeah, actually. Most of my Rocket League time has been spent, oddly enough, like getting absolutely textually abused in ones, because my ones rank is deplorable currently. I haven't kept up with it as I've ascended in other ranks. So they're like, what are you doing with a title down here? How much was your title? You're so bad. And just all the wonderful things that could totally destroy my morale and make me want to play this game. I get them. So I try to make sure chat is off.
Hey, haters gonna hate. Yeah. But like I said, true winners get motivated.
True. True, but yeah,
I don't know if I said that. I made that up. All right, continue.
I like it, but it just, yeah, but I've been working on a bit of ones here, just kind of trying to improve on myself for maybe half hour when I can, here or there, maybe every day, every other day. Actually, a lot of my time has been hopping on alt accounts and playing with members like you. Yes, you, the one listening to this podcast, because you know who you are. We've been getting together. I was helping Clorox with some double taps, and I was helping Chaos Maker a couple weeks back with a little bit of rotational knowledge, and just kind of, you know, playing with people in the community and seeing where they're at and trying to you know, bring a little bit of thunder and help them enjoy the game a bit more when they're just trying to hang out and relax in their time off, you know, and just sort of spend time with people. So my rank grind is kind of at a halt just because I have so much going on. I'm at the end of my third year of my apprenticeship program. I recently got like the raise, and I've been doing this and that and the other thing, and you know, more responsibilities at work. So I'm still trying to squeeze it in. Overall, I'd say my week or weeks in Rocket League have been productive and very, very enjoyable. Just spending time with people, just, you know, really.
Yeah.
Just
no, that sounds fun.
Just remembering why I play this game, because I love it and I love playing it with people, and I love playing it especially with our community as well. Like anytime you guys want to meet up on a weekend and play some casuals or some privates or something, I'm more than likely always down. I'm here and I just want to hit ball.
my kind of thing about that is like I definitely know, and I mean I'm sure people in the community themselves have felt it, that like we haven't really organized any community events, and I'm just like, it's that time of my life, all right, that, you know, it's that season of my life where the event organization just isn't really possible, at least for on my end of things.
Yeah.
But what I think is cool, I mean there's some underdog stories in our Discords, like the esports chat I think is the underdog chat of the year.
Oh yeah.
Which came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
which I'll just see people talking about transfers and stuff, and I'm like, oh okay we got a side niche here, you know.
Yeah.
Where there's the people who only post in the esports, they don't post anything and anything else, it's just the esports chat. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, obviously I like kind of community building and all that, but you know, the amount of things that I kind of officially organized just kind of dropped a little bit, and that's just the nature of where we're at currently. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in a kind of a different part, different time, you know, I'm sure the show will go through some evolutions, and we'll see some of that increase again at some point.
For sure.
For my week in Rocket League, I mean, I'm still on the grind to finally beat the dribble challenge there. I believe
the overhaul or the Eversax one,
like the second one, just the second one, like the dribble challenge too. Because I think the furthest I got was like the level before the end, or the I think that was it.
Nice.
So my goal now that I'm offline is, or like my internet's too bad to really play, is to maybe beat it. My last try, I think a relative, like what is really fun is like I can get to level 20 quite quickly now, like pretty easy breezy.
Nice.
But it's just when you start getting kind of into those things. Although it's something like, if I want to put it one way, it's kind of interesting, like looking at that challenge as like a reflection of like skill progression, because I find that at first when I had to do it, I had to like really think, I had to like ingrain it in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then there was this kind of like feel to it, like you start getting the feel for it, you start kind of hanging on to like, okay, this is where I slow down, this is where I speed up.
Yep.
And then like now some of the things are just like ingrained in my bones, you know, like, mm-hmm. So that's why that first part is a lot easier, because like all those like MIDI skills are just like, what is it, subconscious, like unconsciously competent skills,
right,
so
right.
I can do them without really thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I don't, it's been a while since we talked about that. I don't mind kind of bringing, since I brought it up,
yeah,
just like talking about
means.
It quickly for those who don't know. So the first level of learning something is you are you're unaware of your ability.
Yeah, exactly.
And unable to do it. That's maybe okay. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So your first level is you are unaware of where you're at, like where your relative ability is at compared to other things. So you'll see this a lot of times, especially like, this is really interesting, especially like when people are playing a new sport, like they might be like athletic, right?
Sure.
But they don't actually realize how bad they are at the specifics of that sport,
right?
Because they don't have the knowledge for it, so they think they're doing things right, but they're not doing things right. Maybe someone who's athletic might actually be somewhat okay at doing some of the basics, just because they can naturally get it really quickly, but in general that's kind of your first level. Mm-hmm. Then you are aware and you're unable to do it. And so that's the kind of the second level where you've gained at least enough knowledge, where you know what you're trying to do now, you know what you're attempting to do. And then you're right where you have to do, but you still haven't learned the skills. Then the third level is you know what you have to do. And if you think about it, you can do it. So you can consciously apply it. So if you think really hard and you try it, they can do it. And then there's the last level where subconsciously, like, you have the skill so ingrained that you can do it without thinking.
Right.
So those are kind of the four levels of a lot of learning. It's a theory or another. I forget the name, but it's a good kind of way of like thinking about like, where are you? And so I think what you have, and like when you see people who are really striving for like the upper echelon, is when people say, oh, I can read the game really well, or like I have really good knowledge, they still might be kind of at level three a little bit, because you playing at a new rank, you have to be like subconsciously able to play at that rank well enough that you don't have to overthink. You just do the right things. And so that's,
right. Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of those things. And you know, it's a little more complicated sometimes because we have a lot of variables in Rocket League where, like, you know, the new players you get every game are so different that, like, you're constantly reacting and adjusting. But it's one way you can kind of look at your skill progression. And maybe more precisely is, like, these four levels, you might want to look at, like, different aspects of the game. So you might be, like, you know, you've practiced your air dribbles and flip resets so many times. So now you've gotten to a point where you're able to do that. You're like, oh, I'm subconsciously able to do flip resets every time, but I'm not rotating posts, back posts subconsciously every time, right?
I wish I could do flip resets subconsciously every time.
but that's, I guess that's the point. All right, I think we'll end our week in Rocket League here. Are you ready for the we're gonna call this the Turbo Tip of the Week.
Turbo Tip of the Week.
Yeah, there it is. Ready?
Okay,
that's what you got this time. All right, it'll be better next time. I'm thinking of it here. I'm just hitting you with random cores. Your Turbo Tip of the Week is when you retire, become an esports coach. Turbo has said that he is interested in being a coach, and I saw this tweet the other day, and I thought this was news. So there you go.
I'm sorry, you reminded me of something. We were having this conversation like 220 now. We were having this conversation almost 100 episodes ago, where I was like, yeah, when Turbo retires, I see him being that guy who's probably going to be a coach or something. Like, I gotta go.
And
back
you and say, think, we don't do long-term plot here on the show.
We have so much plot armor on the show; it's ridiculous. I'm gonna go find it. I'm actually gonna dig. That'll be my homework from you, without even telling me, this week.
There you go. Yeah, find the Turbo episode. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just heard this, and I'm like, I think Turbo is good vibes, but I'm curious how good he is actually at coaching a team. I mean, maybe it's a thing where you just, there's certain, because of like the respect he's kind of garnered, maybe there's certain teams where you're like, they can coach themselves. We just need someone to kind of be there to talk about specifically like how you should be feeling in a tournament, you know, just performance and stuff. So I think there's certain teams that I could definitely use as a coach. I probably wouldn't recommend him for the hyper analytical part of the game, but also that's just me stereotyping.
I mean, what if he was that NRG coach that they so desperately need? I was just saying, I mean, he's got prior experience with the roster and, you know, might see a big change. You know, they were talking about how they wanted to have a more analytical coach and go over plays. Just bring the poor time back, man. He helped y'all get your dub. Just bring it back.
There's something so funny about him being the four time. Like, I swear to this day, it's coolness under pressure, really, right? At the end of the day, like, it's just clutch moment after clutch moment. And it's like, you're like, you know, he doesn't stick out, but then does the thing that has to be done at the right time, or doesn't make the mistake, right? You know, there's something that, but can you teach that, Cursor? Are you able to teach that?
Can you teach confidence under pressure? 100%. 100% you can. It's a mentality.
Yeah, how would you teach it?
How would you teach mentality? I'm not great at it, but Okay. I'll go off on a 2 second tangent here. I deal with anxiety, like clinical anxiety, and have pretty much since I was diagnosed at like the age of 10. One of the things that helps me perform under pressure is tips I've gotten from coworkers, family members, friends, things of that nature, right? Where probably the big takeaway is don't worry about the things that are out of your control. So in that moment where, like, you see, like, if we're to apply this to Rocket League, everyone's jacked up and no one's going to be there in time. There's no sense in stressing out over it and throwing your hands up to your face like, oh, they scored on us. Why? It was so preventable. Yeah, but the fact that you didn't prevent it and it's already happened means it's out of your control. What you can control is how you react to it. And are you going to let this ruin your mental, or are you going to buck up and try again? And I've kind of found a lot of success in my career lately with that sort of mentality where, you know, I may stumble along the way, but that's kind of the point. You stumble so that you can learn, so you don't make those mistakes again, so that when you do come into that situation again, you can remain calm under pressure and perform as need be.
And I think this is the, I mean, Keem, if I were to like just bring this a little bit to our listeners here for their own experiences, I think as well, it's like sometimes when you compare yourself to pros, it can actually be detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say pros are probably trying to achieve perfection, or the pressure of their job is to be perfect, right?
Which is like super unhealthy for the casual player.
But if you are trying to get better at something, you should strive for excellence, sure. Not perfection, right?
Right, yeah.
So you should strive for being the best you possibly can, but it will actually hinder you in the long run if every time you make a mistake, you're like, I should have done that perfectly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What you should probably look at is like, and this seems like, okay, I'm just about to go off to a tangent here. Tangent riff.
Nice.
All right. So for the tangent riff here, the pentatonic scale that you got hit with there, the tangent I want to talk about is real quick. Do you remember when AlphaGo? Remember that documentary? Or no?
Vaguely.
It's the first like they kind of like computer like AI type thing to figuring out the game Go, right? So they had one for chess,
yeah.
And then they had one for Go. Mm-hmm. So the one for Go here, what ended up happening is, they created the computer instead of trying to win every game as like of Go by as much as possible. By the way, Go is this board game where you put these stones and you cover territory, and it's very long and complicated, and you can place it anywhere, so it feels very intuitive as opposed to like calculatable like chess is sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just very hard to predict. So what they kind of programmed the computer, like the machine learning, to do is to take percentage based approach of what would be the slightly more percentage based play.
Mm-hmm.
And it would try to win by 1% instead of by 100%, you know, as long as continuously like 51 to 49, then it would keep making those plays essentially. Right.
Yep.
And that's kind of how it edged its success. So my advice to you is to, if you're looking at your mistakes, because we'll do like replay reviews and those are really good and you can be hyper critical of those, to actually measure your increase in how you are as a player, like you actually becoming better, you should probably take like a week or two average, right?
Yep.
And see if you are making marginal gains, like even like small percentage gains overall, and that'll probably be a better indicator if you're kind of moving up.
Right.
So that's my tie-in. That's how I tie that in. I think
if I may too, but while we're on the subject, before I forget, you, I think you made a really good like point I wanted to jump on there too, is when we were talking about how to remain calm under pressure, like a lot of like another thing in addition to people trying to compare themselves to pros, especially as a casual player or a ranked grinder, another thing I hear far too much of, with which like both you and I are guilty of too at times, you know, even maybe sometimes today as well.
Never. I don't know what you're gonna say, but never.
People are very, very quick to pass blame to lack of success or performance onto their teammates, which again is not an element within your control. So instead of allowing yourself into this bad habit of constantly thinking it's okay to just sit there and blame somebody else for your mistakes, the reality of it is, if you wanted to rank up, you could have found a way to work around it. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you didn't is the learning curve, right? That's like why you are where you are. Like, that's why it can be so difficult and so frustrating sometimes, is because you might be on a level that they're not on, or maybe they're having a bad day. And we've talked about this at great lengths before on numerous episodes, but really, like, if we're staying on the topic of like mastering yourself and improving and Rocket League and, you know, coolness under pressure, stop worrying so much about the bad things your teammates do and worry about it. Like, how can I support them even though they made this horrible thing happen? Like, what can I do better? Right. And I think I really like your idea of, you know, keep yourself or hold yourself accountable and kind of look at an average, because a lot of up and coming players who are trying to come up to, you know, champ, GC, the one way you can hold yourself accountable is watch your own replays. Nobody watches their own replays. You would see just how wildly inconsistent you also are, and maybe why your teammates are doing some of the things they're doing. And we've definitely talked about this far too many times, but we'll keep telling you all of this until everybody understands.
And I'm curious, like, if it'd be almost like, you know, talking from like a more holistic perspective, if looking at like 10 different replays, but seeing what's the one mistake you make the most of,
right,
would be the most beneficial, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, you had a glaring mistake this one game, but maybe that's not a thing. That's not a mistake you tend to actually do a lot, right?
Sure.
And so it can almost be like, oh, that's not actually a big thing you have to worry about. You made it that one game, but the other 10 games, you never made that mistake, right?
Right.
Or you had that tendency. I was going to say, just off your point there, because you made me think of Siegel. Do you remember Siegel from Overwatch? Does that ring a bell or no?
Siegel.
He was like a streamer, I think, and what have you. Was it Siegel? I think it was
Siegel. I never really followed any of the personalities. I played the game a lot.
He was a TF2 guy, and then he...
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Go on.
Siegel. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I think it was Siegel. Now you're making me second guess myself, but that's okay. I was going to say, he had a good point, because like Overwatch, you'd have 6 people on your team, right?
Yeah. Much more difficult
than dynamic. And then he's like... Well, but this was interesting, right? It was like, there's all these like things you have to do perfectly. And he was kind of like, okay, well, let's look at the amount of players in the game. There's 12 players in the game. Mm-hmm. So the only impact I have in the game, and this is like rough, right? This isn't actually how it works in reality, but like theoretically, the only impact I have in the game is 1 out of 12, right? So less than 10% of the actions that I do in the game have a result on the game. And so he's like, especially in that game where I think it was maybe a little bit like you it was a lot harder to kind of carry, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the idea was that essentially, okay, well, this 8% that I'm doing, let me make sure it's a full 8% and not a 2%, right? That's the only thing I control. And you kind of have to have the mentality.
Yep.
And then Rockley, you think about that, you actually have a greater impact on the game, right? You have, you say, a third of your team, but then a sixth of the game. So you have about, you know, a nice solid 33%, or cut that in half there. What is it? 15 to 20 there.
And that's only if you're playing threes. It's more if it's doubles or ones.
It's only if you're playing threes, yeah. So you have, and then the less players there are, the more impact you have the game. And so it's like, are you doing your 50% if you're playing twos, right?
Yep.
Okay. So if you're doing your 50% or 25%, anyway,
50% for your team, 25% for the whole
game. Yeah. We know what's going on. We know the math.
Yeah.
Quick maths.
No, you're thinking about that.
But man's not hot. But the point is essentially is like, you just make sure yours is as perfect as it can, sorry, as perfect or like as close to that percentage as it can be. And then if you do that, you know, 100 games over, then you should be winning more games than you're not, right?
Yes, in theory, yes.
Just statistically, in theory, yep. You know. And then like, who knows if you have a bad run, right? Like this is, you can lose a statistic. It can be like a month where you play like what, 15 games, and it just happens those 15 games are the ones where you might have played really close to your like your highest peak, and it didn't work out, but you did what you could within what you controlled, right? Mm-hmm. On average, like over a year, that will definitely balance out. So just the sheer amount of games you play in a year, if you're playing better than you usually are, you should rank up slowly, right? That's kind of how that works. Yeah. Okay, we kind of drifted here on this topic. That was your
or maybe even
what do we call it?
I don't even know if we can say we drifted.
And turbo tip together.
There you go. Do you record for that one?
No, I did the pentatonic scale. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I was closing that chapter, and now we're gonna go into some transfers. Ready for the transfers?
Yeah, players who do practice all these things we were just talking about and are pretty good at them.
Yeah, here's your transfer.
Oh, okay.
There you go. It's nice little chord progression up the bridge of the guitar. There you go.
There you go.
A couple things with the transfers, just generally there's some players becoming active, some things I want to talk about. The big thing is I like to call the fall, not the fall, but should we say the scrub killer, okay, out of the big leagues or out of the big main teams here. So just recently SK Gaming, right? He was on SK Gaming there. Yeah. He became inactive, and now he's joined Much Delight with Stake, and they're kind of looking for a team. Mm-hmm. But I think this kind of marks like an important point a little bit, where I think we're at a point where he'll have to kind of reinvent himself, right? Like that's kind of where we're at with Scrub Killer. Like I think it's interesting that they're like 2 years ago, year and a half, maybe two years ago, really at this point, right? Mm-hmm. It was the Scrub Killer show, you know? It was the guy that everyone was talking about, right? The win, the championship win, and with so many things. And I don't think he's necessarily out, right? Like we're talking about Turbo kind of retiring there, but I don't think he's necessarily out, but he's definitely at a point now where it's like, okay, well, it's go time. I need to really redefine my career and see if I can create this next chapter, right?
Yeah.
And it just proves how absolutely cutthroat Rocket League. Like, I've never... Esports careers are short, but, like, Rocket League is especially short. Like, you got a year or two. Which... You know, there's another part of me, and I mean, we could probably talk about this a little bit. It's maybe that's not a bad thing. Like maybe that is the natural progression of this esport, where it's just like, hey, you do a year or two, you know, you make it to the pros, you make some money, you make a name a little bit. And if you want to go into content creation, or you want to kind of go into the esports space after, you can, or you can, you know, go back and get a quote unquote real job with some money in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, I think there's something to that where it's like, maybe it's better that you're not hanging on to this career for 10 years and then you're really kind of lost without it. But I don't know, maybe that's me not fully formulating a thought there, but just kind of thinking out loud here.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about Scrub Killer a little bit, but I just feel he's not been the main headline.
Yeah, it's definitely almost as if I wouldn't say he fell out of grace, right? I will say this. It's probably got to be extremely difficult for... I mean, he's regardless of what public opinion is now, right? Mm-hmm. I will always consider him one of the greats. He helped put the game on the map. People alongside him, Kronovi, Turbo, these are people that literally revolutionized the game. So hear me out, right? So it's got to be extremely difficult for somebody who essentially like got into it at the youngest age and was the child prodigy to being in an era where every 7 months there seems to be a new child prodigy out of some country who is at, I hate to say it, eons better than he is. but they could not have gotten there without all of the information that those greats made public and showed people how to do. It already set them on the course of success, right? There's a my 2 second blurb here off topic. I hear this a lot from conversations between coworkers older than me when they're referring to their kids or younger coworkers is you suffered so they didn't have to. Right. Which is kind of it probably strikes a chord more with some of the parents in our community where you're suffering your mistakes, all the knowledge you've gained, you're building to pass on to your next generation, right? To make them successful. Like even for those of us here like myself who have siblings, like you want to see them succeed you someday, right? They want them to be everything they want to be and more and happy and successful and whatever it may be. And in a way, the greats struggled for us and showed us all this information. So now with all, getting back on topic, with all these wonder kids, you know, the Drollies, the Darks, the Nupos, the Zens, the Daniels, the all these kids who've come up out of nowhere who are just like, holy heck, the Scribbles, we could talk about tons and tons of top tier up-and-coming bubble players and other kids who come up and establish themselves through ones and learn the game to where they're extremely efficient and then they learn to play with others, right? Is like, it's not news in Rocket League anymore. It used to be way back when you had Ty Swoogles and I first on, we were talking about how watch the one scene is going to slowly creep over and like take over LCS. It's just going to be flooded with ones players because they're really, really good. And if you can teach them teamwork, they're going to be better than most of the players on the field because most of the players on the field in our LCS are ones mains and they don't play ones. So there's going to be a lot of flaws that can be exposed by a good ones player if they're in a 1v1 situation where the rest of the team is down the pitch. Or even as they're coming down the pitch, beating players one at a time to get to the net, right? It's just weird. It's got to be weird for him, you know what I mean? And I think very much you hit the nail on the head. Like, I don't think he's throwing in the towel, and I'm sure he's had a lot of self-doubt, but I feel like right now he's going to the drawing board. He's jumping through teams and trying to, reimagine himself and find what works, you know what I mean? There's very few veteran players who have stayed with this game and stayed relevant. It is extremely difficult because as we all well know, the ceiling for Rocket League has not been touched yet. The floor keeps elevating higher and higher and higher, but there's not really an endpoint yet. You know what I mean? We're still seeing, you know, Squishy Muffins videos at least once a year where, 10,000, 15,000, 14,000 hours played. I've never seen this happen once in my career. And he's in like a ranked game. it's like players are still discovering new things. Look at the insane popularity of the Zap Dash that got made popular in the last year and a half, and how something so simple, a mechanic, has never been utilized before or seen in that way. The game's just going to continually evolve because its parameters are already set. The mastery of what is capable within those parameters has yet to be realized, I think is the best way to put it. So for people like him who used to be the master, now seeing all these little masters running around, how do I one-up them? You know what I mean? Like in addition to training to get up to that level, how do I find the next thing? And that's got to be incredibly difficult. That's like asking every single player who came up to be like, you know, how do I invent the next musty flick? Like, how do I find the next thing that gives me an edge against the rest of the competition? Because a lot of it, from what we've seen so far, has quote unquote possibly already been discovered, but we don't exactly know the extent of what can be discovered in this game yet, right? Like, people will sit there, another one, right? Is using your triggers on your controller as a gradient air roll that Zen's doing right now that has the community by storm for the last several months. Like what? Like, nobody's thought of this? Not once, because the speed at which you air roll can afford you other opportunities with good car control and good aerial control. There's so much craziness to it. It's got to be tremendously difficult for him, but I don't know. You could look at it as like, you know, oh, he came in, he won his thing, and he was a one and done. He was all talk, whatever, whatever. Sure, there's a lot of players who've come and done that, made their, you know, top four or whatever, and just never came back. But I don't think he's one of those people, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just make a quick analogy here? When you were saying the Pioneers, I kind of put Scrub Killer as like the next wave, where he's like the kind of Hanamaru. What is it, Naruto? What's the guy's name? The kid of the grandpa. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, here? Konohamaru.
I think you said it better than I did. Where he's that kid, but like we're already in Boruto, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
that's what I feel like, where it's like, oh, there's the whole next generation already coming up, but he's like, he's definitely the one who's like taking things and moving them onward. Speaking of moving onward, we're gonna keep it going here. Yep. With our transfer news. Next thing on the docket here is Astral heading out from Moist Esports, which I feel like Moist Esports has been, I don't know if it's Astral show, but like that's kind of the big name that was on that team. And they feel like a new team a little bit here. It feels sudden to me. But there's another part that, and we'll talk about this in a second, right? Where, it's Joyo, Juicy, and Cash. So it feels like a different team here. We'll see how they perform. Obviously, they won the Winter Cup. Interesting. sure. But like MAME, that's kind of 2 months away from the awards and achievements. So like maybe that's really what it has to do with it, right?
Maybe.
Is just no recent results have been good enough, and it's kind of time to move. Astro moving on. Two, just inactive. So really no other news from Astro right now. And Cash from from Quad moving over. Quad kind of getting split up, and I'll kind of jump right into that. And the rest of the Quad squad joins Oxygen.
so many rapid and then changes.
This squad is absolutely nasty here, right? We have on Oxygen right now. Hold on, am I reading this right? Did I lose myself here?
Maybe.
So RLCS, a winter split. Yeah, so Ryze was acquired in January and now is gone. Got it. And so we have Archie, Juros, and Ixo, which is a nasty team.
Yeah.
Archie, Juros, Ixo, this is just the new Oxygen team here in Europe here is just an absolute monster of a team. I remember when Archie kind of showed up, right? If I'm not mistaken, was it Top Lokes? Was that the first team? Am I going crazy here? Or was it
let me check
was
that.
Double check that for me if I'm going crazy. Was Top Lokes, when he really burst on. I'm right.
Yes,
I got it.
Yes, it was.
Where I just remember that people were saying it was like it felt like Archie versus a whole other teams. And then we got Jurors, obviously.
Oddly enough, well they beat Queso too.
Oh my goodness. There you go. So I am excited for this team. This is definitely a team I'm looking for. I think Oxygen Esports has at least name value wise. A squad. We'll see if it actually lives up to the hype. Mm-hmm. But I'm hyped. Like this feels like an NAEU team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, a little bit.
Get the big names and see how they do. But there it is. I want to put before I talk to actually. Do you have anything to say to that about this new team, or can I get
no,
to
by all means.
Okay, I'm gonna keep moving in here. I want to really quickly talk about Axel, who. I think they had some big changes here. Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention that Gimmick, Toasty, and Taroko are now on our team called Axel. So the gimmick experiment. The gimmick, keeping up with his gimmick, I guess. There you go. I'll just mention that. I just thought it was cool. I mean, every time there's the original C9 squad or that specific, I say the Golden Era C9 squad, I like to mention them.
I feel like he's like the front man in an alt-rock band that just never goes out of style. It's like Gimmick and the Gamers. He just keeps going, bro. He just keeps putting out bangers from time to time, We see little glimpses of what used to be C9 Gimmick, but just kind of falls a little bit short.
We talked about Scrub Killer being the name in the headlights, right? I feel the name in the headlights for this transfer season for sure is Ryze.
Yeah.
Who has now transferred to arguably the one of the most dominant teams of any era, BDS. Yeah. We'll see if you know, the team that won last year, even though they didn't think they'd win. So he's on Team BDS here. And that puts Extra as a sub. Yeah, Rai, Seiko, Monkey Moon. I don't even
know what to feel about that squad, man. I just don't. We've seen so many of these squads that look good on paper and then they just tank.
No, but this is the thing with BDS. I think they found the sweet spot. So
we keep saying that. I've really been like
Well, no, it's cause you need continual change to keep momentum going sometimes. Right? Like every time they do a change, it feels like it's riskier than the last. But they've been kind of, I think, ahead of the decline of their squad. Like, if I were to do it like analogy to soccer here, right? Or football. There's like a saying that every like 3 or 4 years, you need new players in the squad. Just because of the fact that it's like the same player can't continue doing that thing at the top level. You know what I mean? Past 3 or 4 years. Like that, even for that player himself, probably can go to a new place and do much better because it's just you're reinvigorated, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe Team BDS has just kind of found this formula where it's that happens just a lot faster, right? Where every 6 months to a year you're kind of looking for that new player continuously. And so you have this kind of phantom skeleton crew, and then you have a completely new crew, but it's been introduced kind of every 6 months or every year, and that's how you kind of continue to evolve and stay ahead of the game. So that's my theory on this, and I kind of like, well, not from player's perspective, but I like it from an entertainment's perspective.
Sure.
So yeah, we'll see how they do and see if they I'm just gonna look at quick results here. So yeah, they've last big achievement here that I'm looking at is the World Championship last year, right? Mm-hmm. So they are definitely owed or in it to win it, shall we say. Maybe it's time for some change-ups and kind of catching up. And I'm excited. I mean, I want to see all the pieces kind of come together and type squad here.
I kind of want that for G2, but I don't know if I'm ever going to see it. I'm doubtful at this point.
And then G2, yeah. Well, G2 has gone completely the other way, right? If we want to talk about G2, right? Where it's just like, nah, we are the squad. Like, this is it.
They say that, and then they show glimpses of it, and then it just disappears almost as soon as they talk about it. I'm like, where'd it go? It was right there. It's not like you guys changed. What did you do? I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. But sorry. Next thing.
Next in here is... So Mark by 8 becoming inactive as of today.
That actually blows my mind.
And he is replaced by Oli on G1.
After all this talk about staying on Liquid and all this drama. And Mark by 8 actually coming up out of nowhere and putting the hurt on some people at the major. People be like, wow, what a team. And then, not playing anymore. Like, what?
You know, G1 said it had some heart at the major, man. 13th to 16th place. Like, that's not a bad playoff finish for this specific team.
No, and they beat FaZe.
It's tough by Mark Bright because he's part of that BDS dynasty, whatever you want to call it, the BDS dream team, right?
Sure.
And he was the one who was kind of ousted earliest, you know, a little bit. Maybe, wait, was he the earliest? Now I'm trying to get the thing. Or was he the second one who was ousted? Has BDS already evolved twice since then? I think it has. Atomic, Dorito, Oli. This looks like a fun squad. This is one of those squads where, like the other two teams that we really looked at here, I look at those squads like Oxygen and, and it's like, oh, on paper, like these are some very individual world beaters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when I look at this squad, this feels like the a little bit more of the dark horse, right?
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like no names, you know, it's tested names, names that have been in a lot of tournaments, but let's see how they mesh together. And yeah, there you go, G1. I'm with the new look with Ole 9 hours ago from recording here. So, you know, good thing we delayed the show. It wasn't delayed. We chose the Wednesday this week. You know, we would have missed out on this big news here.
I mean, if we did, that would have been in true ASAP fashion for you. Yoji still kicking around that the news always comes out after we record.
You're so right. The bit, you know, the joke. Ugh. Here's your honorary A minor chord for not being able to figure out how to make the joke work this week.
Yay.
All right, there you go. So with that in mind, that kind of completes the transfers. I'm sure. Well, I think I'm looking at Wabs and I next week. But I'm sure when Messi's back on, he'll be roaring to go about some of these transfers, and we're gonna start getting into obviously the spring splits here. So there's a lot to talk about, kind of going forward in Rocket League. I think it's kind of nice. We're kind of nice little groove here. Transfer's been fun. I mean, the Rise drama just finally ended. Oh. So
there was more drama too.
Yeah. Oh, more drama. Yeah. You know what? Let me add it to the topic list. Is it part of transfers or not part of transfers?
Not really part of transfers, but part of okay. Pro player drama that I found rather amusing this week.
More player drama. Before you do, I do actually have to sing a jingle. I am contractually obligated.
Okay.
To sing a jingle or a song, okay,
do it.
About drama. Yes, all right, yes, ready for yes. it? We have the drama corner, and it's gonna be not a loner. And I tried to rhyme, and I don't have time, and it's time that we look for the drama
in the corner.
Again. Woo! All right, there you go.
But
I'm having fun with the guitar again.
Heck yeah, love it. What if you could play Rocket League with your guitar? Would you?
Don't give me ideas. What you create, like, okay, hear me out. All right, essentially, what you need to do is you would, because this acoustic guitar actually does plug into electric, so you would equate a frequency with, you need a program that could change a frequency, like certain sounds
into an input.
would be certain hits on the on the controller, and then I think you'd do it.
I mean, people have played Rocket League on a Guitar Hero controller already. Why can't they do it on a real live guitar?
They can. I just think you might have to go through one extra hoop. It might be easier with a Guitar Hero controller. Anyway, what's the player drama you found?
So the brief little player drama I found this week that I found rather amusing was there was a 1v1 matchup between famous 1v1 French player Moxie and famous Middle Eastern 1v1 player Nupo. And I don't have the entire story, but from the gist of it, they played, Nupo won. It was like $500, and maybe Nupo was BMing a little bit, as we know these young kids do. It just happens, or they're trolling to get a rise out of you, whatever. And I guess Moxie like lost it and just went at him and like started just like cussing him out, saying some things or what. It's the DMs between the two where Moxie quite literally just verbally abuses this poor kid.
Jeez.
About his accomplishments thus far in his career and yada yada yada, and I make so much more than you, you're nothing, and blah. It's like,
oh my goodness.
It's like, holy dude, it was just a show match. Like, y'all are supposed to show up in good spirits, compete hard, and it ultimately means nothing. It's just a show match. Like, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. Like, whatever. Like, it's not RLCS. You know what I mean? Although I could be wrong, and please feel free to at me and correct me in the Discord. I don't know if it was part of the 1v1 thing that Johnny Boy's been had going on with Fear and whatnot. And I don't know, but I found it amusing that with everything that's going on right now and all these player transfers and whatnot, we still find these little cute content gems of players just being children at each other. And it's just the most adorable thing. It's like, oh, you didn't win by that much. You're really not that good. And you beat them like 10-1 or something. It's like, all right, buddy. you know, good game.
I just need him to go, hey, you're irrelevant. That's what I need.
it's wild to me. But I saw it on Twitter. The DMs are everywhere. They were public. And then, like, Moxie had to release, like, a public apology because he was a little sussy.
There you go.
It's kind of funny. Check it out if you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you're into that. Speaking of what our listeners are into, I would like to just as an add on here, a little bonus here at the end. I'd like you to guess, okay, for me. Mm. I have a percentage breakdown of all the people who listen to us.
Okay.
So just doing percentages here. Which country would you say? If it's 59.3%, okay, which country do you think is top here that listen to our podcast here?
To our podcast. Mm. I feel like you're asking me this because it's probably not America. It's not North America. So
it's a country. Yeah, so let's start with that.
Yeah, it's definitely
Europe.
Yeah, it's definitely not North America.
Are you sure? Listen, I'm going to go through a couple of these. So maybe there'll be more surprises further down.
Okay.
What's your first guess here?
At what was that? 59.6, you said?
0.3%. 59.3% there.
3. Norway.
No. Norway is at hold on, let me count on the list here. Norway is actually the 8th on our list. With just under 1%.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yes, yes. But 8th on our list.
Okay.
No, it's the one you think it is. All right.
It is North America?
It's not a trick question.
Oh, okay. I thought you were tricking me. So is it North America then?
The second one might be a little harder, but the first one here, yes.
Yeah, I would imagine it's North America.
United States there.
Yeah.
Yeah, United States is our first one here. Then we go the second one here. I'll just tell you here. All right, I'll tell you the next couple. We go with the English speaking countries you'd expect. Although number 2, United Kingdom.
Really?
So every time I say soccer, they die inside.
So secretly, Cole and Stumpy, if you're listening to this, we'd love to come on or have you come on and chat with us.
All the listeners our way.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's fun. Canada after that at 9.32.
Makes sense.
And then Australia at 6.06.
Also makes sense, yeah.
And then here, this is the big one. So like we've gone through the English speaking countries, like the main English speaking countries. Mm-hmm. Which country, all right, is the 5th most listened to for our podcast at 3.14%?
Brazil.
Ooh, let me just tell you where Brazil is here. Brazil is at actually not that far. It is exactly 11th.
Wow, I'm getting really close to these. Not.
Yeah, some of these are quite good here.
This is like a guess your rank thing, and I'm only like a division off instead of a whole rank set. Okay, I can get down with this.
Yeah, and my hint is it is in Europe. So let's see how your geography is here.
Is it Sweden?
Wow, real close. Sweden is our 6th most listened to at 1.4%. So Sweden is right behind this one, but that is close.
Dang it.
I'll give you 2 more guesses.
Is it Finland?
Finland is 10th.
Oh. I got colder. No. Poland?
Poland, actually. Let's see if Poland's even on here.
My geography's horrible now.
Poland, despite my best efforts, is way down 16th on the list there.
Oh, dang.
And it's probably my cousin.
Hey, at least they made top 16, you know?
Hey, you know what? There you go.
There you go. That's RLCS quality.
Qualifying playoffs. Yeah. Coming to number 5, Germany.
That was literally going to be my next guess, honestly.
So close. All right. And then last thing, okay. the one that's on the list, but the country that we have listens from, but the least amount of listens. It's a South American country. What do you think it is?
Ooh. That I didn't already name?
No, Brazil was 11, so Brazil's way up higher on the list here. This is 50th on the list here.
Let's see. I'm stuck between Argentina and Guatemala. I'm going to go with Argentina.
So Argentina.
Oh, wait, no, that's more Central America. That's not. No. That's a bad guess.
Argentina is definitely South America, but considering it's on the tip there, right? Mm. No, Argentina is very close. Argentina just has a couple more listens than these two countries here that are tied for last. Argentina, yeah, a couple of Argentina, but no, it was Chile and Peru. I'm just gonna give that away. There you go. So they are tied for. We have listens, but I'm just gonna name a couple other countries here that are interesting.
Chile too. I'm second guessing myself. No worries. It's ruining me. Oh no.
This is just a game. We have some listens from Malawi. We have some listens from here. Let's see some interesting countries that you might not expect. India.
Ooh.
We have some listens from South Africa is pretty cool, but I think we also with that recent episode, right? We probably helped us out a little bit.
True.
Recent relatively, but yes, relative, recent. Yeah. That whole scene there. We've Philippines, some listeners from the Philippines.
Okay.
Maybe that's my uncle, you know. My cousin's a Poland, maybe my uncle's in the Philippines. Yeah. Well, my uncle travels to the Philippines. That was anyway. We're good. Yeah, shout out to him. All right, you're Homer for this week. Should you choose 6-7? That's right, we're closing the show here. I learned an easy song on any instrument. It can even be singing. So it can be a singing, it can be guitar, it can be piano. Find a song that you like. Google, like YouTube tutorial, how to play whatever easy mode or easy chords or something like that, and then learn that song. Because you, it's fun.
And then
that's it.
Post it on our Discord so we can cheer you on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we will have no hatred. We will have all but the encores and the happy faces and the poggers. Yes,
all the love. I like how last time we did this, like I made one of these challenges that we posted. Elias just posted like, yeah, here's me beating the dribble challenge, you noob. True. So I felt that, Elias. I'd like you to know that I've been humbled, and yeah, I appreciate it. But anyway, we're not judging you. If anything, we will be drastically. What's the word? Envious of your talent. So, send those in. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all next week. Peace.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save.